Holy Spirit, tonight we give you leadership in this service. We give you complete control, and in the name of Jesus tonight, may you be glorified and praised. We worship you, Lord of the harvest. Open our eyes to the harvest field tonight, I pray. Help us to get our eyes off of ourselves, off of our needs, off of our own wants and desires. Help us to see Jesus tonight and to see the world as he sees the world. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will have control of this service, total and complete control of our thinking and our hearts as we lift them heavenward. I pray again, Holy Spirit, for your anointing, that this will not be a sermon, but it will be a message from the very heart of God. Let it be a message from the very heart of God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I am compelled tonight to share with you some things that I have never been at liberty to share before. And the reason I have this in my hand is because I don't like standing behind something that's bigger than I am. I want to be seen. I appreciate so very much being here tonight, and I appreciate the kindness and the opportunity to come, your kind invitation to come and to be back here again, and this time for ministry. As I said this morning in chapel, it's the very first time that I've been back to minister since I graduated in 1972. And I was kind of apprehensive. You know, you always wonder what it's going to be like going back to minister. But I feel very good about tonight because I believe it's ordained of God. I have asked always for the Holy Spirit to direct my paths during my itineration, and I believe that this is of the Lord tonight, and I appreciate so very much this chance to be together. I appreciate also the opportunity to say thank you to those that had a part in my life, in forming me, in shaping my attitudes, my teaching. I appreciate you very much, those of you, the members of the faculty that were here when I was here, and ministered to me. Thank you, and I appreciate you. All of the victories that I'm going to be sharing with you tonight, you have a very real part of, and I want you to hear some of them. I want to introduce to you my wife, Julie. Will you stand? I want her, just for you to see her. This is Julie. For those of you that knew her when we were here together, single, her name, maiden name was Julie Bendix. And I don't know why that makes me laugh. I guess it's just because I haven't heard it for so long. We met here. She's from Long Island, New York. I'm from Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's the only place in the world that we could have come together and, you know, met. So I'm very thankful for that. I've been ministering on the islands of the South Pacific. Yes, it's a lot warmer there than it is here. And even in this chapel, you've given me a wonderful reception. I'm, you know, from Kenosha, Wisconsin. It was, I don't know, 150 below when I left, and it's 160 below here, I think. I thought I was coming south to get warm, and it sure hasn't been. But I have lived in the islands for 4.5 years. There are 30,000 islands in the South Pacific. When God called me to the islands, he didn't call me to just one island. I didn't understand that. I was in school of missions and graduate school with other missionaries, and they were saying, yes, God's called me to Kenya. I know what avenue I'm going to live on. I know what house I'm, you know, and they said, where are you going? And I said, the South Pacific. And they would say, well, where in the South Pacific? And I would say, I don't know, God's called me to the South Pacific. I had no idea what island, 30,000 islands. I went into Wes Hurst's office, the director for the Far East, and I said, God's called me to the South Pacific. Where do you want me to go? He said, well, there are 30,000 islands. Where do you want to go? I said, I don't know. Wherever God needs me. That's all I said. I was really dumb in a way. Don't ever tell a foreign missions department that you'll go anywhere, because they'll send you anywhere. And so I've lived on three different islands. I started out in New Caledonia. Now, these are not near the Philippines, brother. I love you. God bless you. But they're not near the Philippines. They're about 80,000 miles away from the Philippines. I don't... It's a long ways. Anyway. What?
God called me to Europe. I don't know.
Oh, yes. So then... And New Caledonia is near Australia. It's about 300 miles east of Australia. It's down that way. And the people there are Melanesian. They speak French. They speak all different kinds of languages, but the French have taken control of that country, and so they make all of the people speak French. So I had to learn French when I was going overseas, and I didn't know any French. I had to go to language school for 6 months and study it in France so that I could go and minister in that language. And how many of you speak French? Somebody here speaks French? Anyone? Several people. I see. Praise the Lord. The only French that I knew before I left for overseas was toupé, Chevrolet. French fries. You know, I didn't know anything. Rendezvous. I knew rendezvous. And then because of, as Gary has already said, because of the shortage of missionaries in that part of the world, we were asked to be a missionary to two different island countries, and so I had to move to the next one, and that was what used to be New Hebrides. It's about 150 miles past New Caledonia. They are also Melanesian people. They are black. And they don't speak French. Some speak French, but it was ruled by France and England. But they all speak Bishlama. And so that's the national language. How many of you speak Bishlama? Bishlama is a funny language. Four or five of you do it here. It's a funny language. Food is kai kai. And to eat is kai kai. So you kai 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 kai, you see? And babies, children are called pikininis. The soldiers during World War II lived on these islands, and whenever they wanted to give a word to the island people, they gave them words for certain things. That's where pikinini came from. To know something is savvy. You know, the GIs were always going around, savvy something. And so now it's a part of their language. And to know something is savvy, to be able to do something is savvy. So you savvy savvy. You say you savvy savvy kai 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 kai. You know, it's... But that's... the language that they spoke, and I had to learn another language. Now, I want to tell you this. You, and I don't want to hear any amens from the faculty here, but I'm not a brilliant person. And, I mean, it's not that I'm that intelligent, and I'm not all that gifted. But when I had to move, I just want to tell you this. The Holy Spirit, before I ever left for overseas, promised me that I would not have difficulty in learning a language if I would apply myself and work. The Holy Spirit would help me. He is the author of languages. Through a prophecy in one of our churches, people laid their hands on me. They didn't know it. I was scared to death. There was a knot in my stomach every time I knew that I had to learn a language and had to preach in that language and minister in that language. I was scared to death. And people laid their hands on me. One man came and whispered in my ear the message of the Lord. He said, I will help you to learn languages. I am the author of languages. You have nothing to fear. Apply yourself, work at it, and I'll do the rest. I learned French in 6 months. I was preaching it in 6 months. I moved to Vanuatu. I'm only saying this to give him glory. You understand this. I moved to Vanuatu, had to learn another language, Bishlama, which wasn't all that as hard as French, obviously. But in 3 weeks, I was preaching and teaching in the Bible school in that language. In 3 weeks. Because the Holy Spirit is the author of languages. And from there, then I had to move to Tahiti. French Polynesia is the name of the country, and Tahiti is just one island. It's all of these island countries have a lot of islands with them, and Tahiti is just one of 130 islands, and so you understand that all of these island countries are made up of many islands, and you can we're building our very first church. It was just completed in December at Christmas time. Our very first church building was completed in Tahiti, on the island of Tahiti. Now, that may not excite you, but I share this wherever I go because it's very meaningful to us tonight, because someone has measured the furthest point away from Jerusalem on the globe that you can get, and they come to the islands of French Polynesia. And that's where Tahiti is, you see, in those islands. That's the uttermost parts of the earth, and we're putting up our first church there. Yeah. Hallelujah. Doesn't that make you excited? That's exciting. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto French Polynesia. Amen. And I was there. I was able to have a part of that, and I appreciate the Lord allowing me to have a part in that, knowing that he's fulfilling his promises, that he's reaching the far corners of this earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to share with you tonight some things that happened to me, and I better get with it. On those islands, I'm going to share with you within my message some of the things. I shared this message on Wednesday night at Central Assembly. I feel very strongly that I need to do it again tonight. I'm going to do some other things. As I told you this morning, while I was out on an island in prayer, the Holy Spirit very clearly spoke to me and said, if you are ever going to go back to CBC, if you're ever invited there to preach, go and share this message. And it's the message that I will share with you a little bit later on, that the Holy Spirit, I just took out a pen and began writing. And I believe that there are people here tonight that need to hear what the Holy Spirit told me 9 months ago, 10,000 miles away from here, because that doesn't matter a bit to the Holy Spirit. He knew who was going to be here tonight. He knew exactly what it was all about. I didn't then, but he did. And so I'm going to share that with you as well. And that, a part of that message, a part of that is something that I'm going to share with you that I have never shared in a service anywhere, and I don't know if I ever will again, because it's not all that meaningful for everybody else. But tonight I will. And I want to share with you from Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45. Whenever I have a time when people can ask me questions, like I go to missions conventions, and people ask me questions about the islands, or I go to a Sunday school class before the morning service, people will be able to interact with the missionary. There are always two questions that are asked of us. They are in every place. I think that this is true in every place that we have ever been. Two questions, and I know they are going through your mind tonight as well, so I'm going to answer those questions before I speak, so your mind will be free and you'll be able to listen to me. The first question that is always asked, not necessarily in this order, but they always come up. The first question is there a McDonald's there? And I say, no, we don't have anything like McDonald's in the islands. There are times when I just lie in bed and have Big Mac attacks. You know, one of my friends, I don't, thank the Lord, remember who it was, but sent me the wrapper of a Big Mac in the mail. Said, I was thinking of you when I ate this. I sent them back a letter bomb. I was thinking of you when I, and the second question that is always asked is, are there mosquitoes there? And I say, yes, definitely. There are all kinds of bugs of all different shapes and forms. I have had all kinds of nameless things fly into my mouth as I've been preaching, and I have eaten I don't know what. But as far as mosquitoes, we have basically two different types. One is a real small little mosquito that's real tiny, that a real pesky little thing that is able to go through the little holes in your screen door and come into your house. And the second type of mosquito is one that is so large it opens the screen door and comes in on its own. Aren't you glad you invited me? Isaiah chapter 45 was given to me as a confirmation in the middle of the night to what the Holy Spirit was himself speaking to me. This was the written word that I had asked the Lord for, because what he was speaking to me in my mind and my heart in prayer was so strange to me that I said, God, I want confirmation in the written word. Give me something to stand upon in your written word. And this is the chapter that he gave to me at that night. It is going to be meaningful to us as I explain it to you, but I want to read, well, let's begin with verse 1. This is what the Lord says to Cyrus, his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of, to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down the gates of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant of Israel, my chosen, I call you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. You see, I was arguing with the Lord at this time. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. The second passage that I know, and I know that you all know it. We don't even have to look it up by heart. We know it by heart. And we know that all things work together, Romans 8, 28 and 29. All things work together for those who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good for those who are the called according to his purpose. What's the first one? I said that we all have it memorized. Who love the Lord. Those who love the Lord, those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. There are times in our lives when we feel that all things are not working together for good to those who love the Lord. We say we love the Lord, we are called according to his purpose. There are times when we feel that everything is not working for our good. When we feel that life has just taken a wrong turn, that we are out of control or something is out of control. There are times when we will question the ways of God, and we will question the sovereignty of God. We will question his power, his authority. We, in our pride, come to the point sometimes when we will question why God is doing things the way he's doing them, because we know of a better way, or we can think of a better way that he could have done it. There are times when we will feel like our world is falling to pieces, that we do not have the answers anymore, and that the mountains are crumbling into the sea. when Bing Crosby died, I remember so well, I don't even remember the year, I don't remember the month or anything like that, but they were interviewing his friends and they were giving him eulogies, of course, as always. And on the radio, as I was listening to one of these, one of his friends, Phil Harris, said in that interview, "I believe in God Almighty. I believe that He is the one who runs this place," I think is the way he said it. "But I believe that this time He made a mistake." In other words, in taking my friend Bing Crosby. And even though we will not articulate that in the same brusque manner, in the same way, we will not articulate that, but in the depths of our soul, in the very core of our being, there are times when the doubts will arise and we will question God. Why doesn't He heal all the people when we pray for Him, for them in faith? Why does He deal with us in ways? Why did He have to take that loved one, my mom or my dad or that person at this particular time? A loss of a job, a divorce. Any kind of a thing that we can imagine will come into our lives and we will wonder if God really is in control. The omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, we will wonder about Him at times. Or we will say, "I wonder if I took a wrong turn or if God didn't speak to me in the right way." We will begin to say things that we never imagined we would say or even think. When I left for the islands, I left the United States with all of the zeal and all of the excitement that any missionary could ever have. I was so excited about being able to go to the islands, to the place where God had called me 5 years before that time. I wanted to witness and minister to people that had never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Over half the world has never heard His name. And I wanted to walk on islands. I wanted to walk on places. I wanted to look into the eyes and the faces of people that had never heard His precious name, and I wanted to tell them that He loved them, that He died for them. God had called me to do that. And oh, I was excited. I landed at that airport in Noumea, New Caledonia. I landed running. I landed moving. I said, "Let me at them. Where are they? I want to win them for Jesus Christ." God had spoken in a prophecy in the church where God had called me. I was an assistant pastor in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. God spoke to me in 1974, called me to missions in that church. I went back in 1979 as itinerating before I left for the field. Itinerating, sharing with them as I'm doing tonight. At the close of that service, a man stood up and gave forth a prophecy and called us by name, my wife and I, and said, "I've called you. You're going to the place that I've called you to go. And there is a man there that is waiting for you that will be your first trophy of grace and will be the first one to accept Jesus Christ when you get to that island." I landed at the airport. I said, "Where is he?" I wanted to know where he was. I said, "Let me at that man." I didn't know who he was. I didn't know if he was the president of the country or the worst bum on the street. I had no idea who he was, but I wanted to meet him. I wanted to find out who he was. I wanted to start a Bible school. There had been no Bible school there. 15 years of missionary work on that island, not one Bible school, not one national pastor. Our way is to build Bible schools. The indigenous church is the best way. Work yourself out of a job. Build a Bible school. Train the nationals. They can go and reach their own in their own languages and their own culture. That's the best way. It always is. It always will be. Build a Bible school as quickly as you can. That's our way. I sat on land that was an old nightclub that we purchased. This was later on, a few months. We purchased an old nightclub that had gone bankrupt. That nightclub was sitting on the top of a hill outside the capital city, about 40, 50 miles, something like that. I sat on there with the other non-American missionaries, but Assembly of God missionaries. And I sat there, bungalows in the back, beautiful for dormitories, a kitchen, a big kitchen, a large dance hall would have been beautiful for a classroom. I looked at those men and I said, brethren, this would make a beautiful Bible school for New Caledonia. They turned to me and they said, this will never be a Bible school and don't you ever talk about it again. I was told many times in so many words that I was neither wanted nor needed in that country as a missionary. That's wonderful for a first-term missionary to hear, isn't it? We don't want you. I said, I want to start a church in the area that I lived, because the area that I lived had no church. It was about 20 miles outside the capital city, going the other direction from where the Bible school was. There was no church, and the people on the islands can't get around as easily as we do, and I wanted to start a church out there. And because my residence visa was dependent upon their signatures, I had to go to them and talk to them about it, of course, and working together is important. I said, I want to start a church out there. They said, if you start a church out there, you'll be causing division. We'll have you off this island. I wanted to preach on other islands. I wanted to walk where no missionary had ever gone. I wanted to minister on other places where they hadn't gone and weren't planning to go. I said, let me go. I was never, ever able in New Caledonia to walk on one other island because they did not permit me to go. I had a beard overseas that I grew while I was over there just because I wanted to see what I looked like with a beard. It wasn't any rebellious thing or whatever, you know. They didn't let me do that when I was at CBC. There was a woman on one of those islands that had a vision of an American with a beard coming to her home, to her hut, and telling her how to gain eternal life. She had a vision of it. I have never been able to walk on that island or meet that woman. Never. And for over a year, brothers and sisters, for over a year, I thought that my life was falling to pieces. Do you understand what I'm saying? I thought that my ministry was over. I thought that God made a mistake. I thought that I'd come to the wrong place. There was some, you know, we can beat our heads against the wall just so long, and then we figure out, hey, something's wrong here. And then the last 3 months of that year, I had a fever every day that I lived. I woke up with a fever. I went to bed with a fever. It was a low-grade fever, but there were times when it would get to 102, 103. I'm not a weak person. I've never been sick a day in my life, you know, other than colds and flu, but not seriously sick. I'm not a weak person. There are times when I stood up and got ready and walked and worked around and was up for 5 or 10 minutes and would have to lie down for 3 and 4 hours because I was so weak and racked with fever. And would wake up to my wife crying because she didn't know what was happening to her husband. 10,000 miles away from home, kind of hospitals that the women that are having babies bring cats with them so the rats don't eat their babies. I didn't want to go to the hospital, believe me. And for 3 months I believed for God to heal me. For 3 months I believed for that fever to go away. I prayed and I fasted. I believed for miracles. I believed for a Bible school. I prayed for these other islands. I prayed that God would help us build a church. I prayed and I prayed. And brothers and sisters, what I thought was total disaster finally culminated in the doctor there telling me, I finally visited him after 3 months, telling me that I was sick with possibly a mortal disease and would have to go home. I didn't want to go home, but I didn't want to stay there anymore. You see, I didn't want to speak French anymore. I didn't want to stand up and preach to people anymore. Because I was beginning to doubt that what I was preaching, whether it was really the truth or not. I didn't want to stay there anymore and be sick, and I didn't want to come home. I was feeling like a total wipeout, a total failure. And it was at that point that in the middle of the night, as I lie on my living room floor, in the middle of the night, in the pitch blackness, as my family had gone to bed, and I thought we're all asleep, and my wife was up praying, as she had done so many times before. In the middle of that night, I prayed and pled with God for an answer, or I wasn't going to leave that floor. I wasn't going to leave that living room until I heard from heaven. And it was at that point that the Holy Spirit came through and spoke to me and showed me what His plan was to reach the islands and the Far East for Jesus Christ. It was at that point that the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and showed me the reason why on November 2nd, 1948, I was born. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and allowed me to see that I had come to the end of myself. Thank God I came to the end of myself. Thank God I came to the end of my ways and my thoughts. And He was able to fill me with Himself and allow me to see what He was doing and what He had been doing. And some of the things that I saw, I didn't even see at that point. I didn't even see until I got home for furlough this time. I had prayed for the islands, and I had showed the islands on a map of New Caledonia. I had said to the people there, I said, now what about this island? Have we ever gone to this island? What about this one over here? And I'd call them by name. I'd say, God has given us those islands. I want to go. Has anyone ever gone? No. No one's ever gone. The gospel's never gone to that place. The gospel's never gone there. The response was always the same. I always knew whenever I asked the question, the response would be the same because no one had ever gone to any other island. I knew it. And I would believe God for those islands. And one island in particular, the little island of Mare, I laid my hands on and I said, what about this little island, the island of Mare? I hadn't seen it before. Have we ever gone there? They said, no, but you'll never go there either. You'll never go there because if you land on that island by boat or, if you go to that island, they will kill you if you have not been invited by the chief of the island of Mare. They'll kill you. Now, island people are very loving, gentle, sweet people. They're the ones that lay flowers over your neck when you arrive at the airport, that kiss you on both cheeks all the time. Everyone, whenever they come into a service like tonight, they would kiss on both cheeks. Everybody. Isn't that nice? And they said, these people, you know, that I thought were gentle, loving people, they said, they'll kill you if you land. They'll pick up stones and will stone you to death. It wasn't just a resistance to the gospel. It was a resistance to any outside force coming in that would mess things up. They didn't want it. I began to pray and believe God for the island of Mare. I'd lay my hands on it on the map. I'd say, God, give us that island. One Thursday night, I was preaching in the capital city. It's one thing they allowed me to do. 60 or 70 people had gathered that night. I didn't know them all, but I shared Jesus with those people that night. As I gave the altar call at the close of that service, I just said, come forward. I'd like to share Jesus with anyone. A young man in his mid-20s came and made his way to the front as people were leaving that building. And as he stood next to me, he looked at me, he said, I'm interested in the spirits. You see, we have spirits on the islands, all kinds of spirits. And they're not always really good spirits. They're most of them bad spirits. The islands are controlled by Satan. There's so many worshippers of Satan. They worship their ancestors and the spirits, but you know they're worshiping. And it's not Jehovah God. There are people that have so much power that as they come into the village to demonstrate their power, they will cast a fishing line into the tall grass. And every time they pull it back, there will be a live fish on the end of that line and it will be red. Red is the sign for Satan in that island, on those islands. They'll say, where do you want me to throw it? They'll throw it in the tall, not in the water, in the tall grass. Where do you want me to throw it? Over there. Throw it over there. They pull it back. There's a live wiggling fish on the end of it every single time. And when this young man said, I'm interested in that, you know, I knew that he could go either way. He could be touched for Jesus Christ or he could go the other direction. I shared with him and prayed with him. And as we prayed, after we prayed, I said, please, I want to have a class on Monday nights. I'm starting a class. I want to share the Bible. I speak in your language. I want you to come on Monday night, every Monday night. I want to teach you more of this. I pled with him. He said, I can't come on Monday night. I said, why not? He said, I don't live on this island. I said, what island do you live on? He said, I live on Mare. Praise God. When I couldn't go, God sent someone, you see. And as I gave him literature to go back to his island with, he studied. Every Friday night, he opened up a Bible study in his home through ICI Literature, and 5, 10, 15, 20 people came every Friday night to study with him. Those people accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. This man, young man, is the son of the chief of the island of Mare, who invited us to come and preach on that island. Today there's a church on that island of 100, 120 people. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because God's in control. When people will stop us, when governments will prohibit, when there will be people in our families that will stop and block the way, God will make a way. Because he is in control of this world. He is in control of our circumstances. And don't ever question the ways of God. When I see in this passage is the creative hands of God. As he is saying, what right does the clay have to say to the potter? What are you making here? The child to say to the father, to the mother, what is it that you've given birth to? What right do you have to say, to come into my presence and say, God, why in the world did you do this to me? But what we do have the right to say is to come into his presence and say, God, why are you doing this to me? What is it that you'll have me to learn in this situation? What glory is it that you want to get from this situation? What is it that you want me to do, to minister and to become? All things work together for good to those who love the Lord. We get that a little mixed up at times. All things work together for my comfort. All things work together for my prosperity. God help us. What's the good? For whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. That's the good. That's the good. That we would be like Jesus. That we would be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That we would be totally empty of ourselves, empty of our pride, empty of our wills, empty of our talents, and be filled and be like Jesus. That's his goal. That's his. He's forming us and making us into his precious image. That's the good. Because I was sick, I had to leave my family, of course, on that island. It's too expensive for them to come home. I came home. That night on the floor, I was making funny noises in the spirit. You know that verse that we read in the morning chapel service, that we know not always how we ought to pray, in Romans chapter 8 again. But the Spirit of God will make intercession through us in groanings that cannot be uttered, cannot be put into words. And that's what I was doing on the floor that night, in the middle of the night, making funny noises in the spirit. I've 10,000 miles away from home, all alone on that floor, I was making funny noises. But at that moment, as God opened the heavens, he assured me that when I went home, he was going to allow things to happen that would otherwise not be able to happen. I went to Cox Medical Center for a week. They tested me over and over to find out what it was. They couldn't find it. They told me I had something tropical, most likely. They thought it could have been cancer, could have been Hodgkin's disease, all kinds of things they were thinking. They said, go before we do anything else. Go to the tropical disease clinic. I had a choice, and I felt directed very strongly to go to Toronto, where there is a tropical disease clinic for some odd reason. I don't know. Why up there? I guess it's because you get up there and the cold kills your disease and then you're all right. You know, they say, go home, God bless you. My blood every morning, gallons, and they tested it. But the rest of the day I had free. I spent those days at 100 Huntley Street in Toronto. You're familiar with Huntley Street? Right on. The PTL, like PTL, it's not the PTL, it's like PTL or 700 Club, except it's in Canada, it's on every major station in Canada. I love those people, they ministered to me, and through them, I was able, and it's a long story, and I don't have the time tonight to tell you all of this, I was able to take a French speaking tape, because God had showed me the fact that the way that he was going to reach the islands, and the thing that he showed me that night, the way that he was going to reach the islands and reach the Far East in one of the ways was through television evangelism. And that's exactly what he called me to that night, to reach them through television evangelism. I spent those days at Huntley Street because that was at my heart, that was on my heart. But you see, at the same time, the Holy Spirit directed something else. They said, I talked to them just briefly about Bible school and about the fact that we needed a Bible school in New Caledonia. They said, hey, have you heard about the Bible school in Quebec City that's in French, something very unusual in the first place, but it's in French, and they're putting all of their classes on video cassette. Have you heard about it? I said, no. I called Springfield, talked to my boss. I said, have you heard about it? He said, we know nothing about that. It was the only way that I could hear about it was to be there and to be directed at that time. The Holy Spirit prompted me to call the pastor. I called him. I introduced myself. I told him that I felt very strongly that we needed to use his program by video cassette overseas on New Caledonia. I said, you probably don't even know where that is. The pastor on the phone began to weep. He said, excuse my emotion. But he said, 2 weeks ago in our chapel service in this school, the Holy Spirit spoke in prophecy and said this entire Bible school program would be going overseas. And we had no idea how that would happen. But the Spirit of God is bearing witness with my spirit that this is it. I spent a week with him, and we made arrangements by faith. They told me never to talk about it again, you know. We made arrangements by faith that entire Bible school program would be shipped by video cassette down 10,000 miles away to the other side of the world, New Caledonia. Today, there's a Bible school in New Caledonia. It's not a normal one. It's by video cassette. It's by those cassettes that are going down there. It's on that very land that they told me there would never be a school on that land. And young people there are studying to be able to go out and minister to their own people the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because our God reigns. Because God is in control of all things. And the wonderful thing about that is, I love this, I love it. The man who opposed vehemently Bible schools for over 12 years is now the director of that school. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because God is in control of all things, and he will arrange the service. You know, I'm not saying God made me sick. I'll never say that. I'll never say that God made me sick so that I could go there. But that happened, and to the glory of God, he allowed me to see the circumstance for what it was, and it was to bring glory to him. It was to fulfill something that he desired to happen in his own way, in his own omniscient way. He allowed it to happen. You see? Oh, our God is in control of all things. God has spoken to me about television evangelism. I tell you this quickly and I must close. I came home this time on furlough. I had to get this approved by the Foreign Missions Committee, of course. And I didn't know what they were going to say. I was a first-term missionary. You know, foreign missions, the first-term missionaries are just a little bit higher than animals, you know. That's not true. My wife just passed out. I don't mean that. I'm. That's not true. Please understand me. I don't know why I say these things. But they don't have a lot of credibility, right? But I had talked to my boss for 3.5 years about my burden, and I came home and I said, please understand that I cannot do anything but what God has spoken to my heart to do. It's burning in my soul. It's burning in my heart. Please, you know, talk to them for me. And the committee decision was that they have allowed me to be director of television evangelism for the Far East and the South Pacific. That does not exist. There is no such thing. So I'm a director over nothing. See? But it's God's plan. It's God's way. I have been able to stand on islands since that time where no missionary has ever been. I've been on places where there is no electricity, but they have television. I have seen grass huts with television antennas going out the top, no electricity on the island. And I tell people this, that I told you before, I'm not brilliant and I'm not a technician, and I know, but I know one thing, that you have to plug those things in. And, you know, I said, how in the world do you do it without electricity? They go together, 10, 20, 30 families will go together, buy a generator so they can get electricity. When television comes on, these generators all start up. There's only one channel on these islands, one station. It's in French, and they'll watch whatever's on. You know, they have French ballet. These island people are sitting there watching. It's really funny. And I stood on one in one hut in a place on Raiatea. And as I stood there to minister, I was there by the invitation of these people to live in their house because I had no other place to stay. And in that hut, I said, invite the people, invite your friends and relatives. I'd like to share with you the reason for which I came to this island. And they sat on the floor. They were sitting all around me, all around that hut, looking through the holes in the wall and the windows. And I stood up to speak, and the only things that were in that room were a little bucket seat from an old World War II Jeep that they brought in for me so I wouldn't have to sit on the floor. But across from me was a color TV. And God spoke to me again that this was his way that we would be using, that he would use the technology that he allowed to be developed in the last days to get his gospel forth. Praise the Lord. There, in the Far East and the South Pacific islands, nearly two-thirds of the world's population live. Nearly two-thirds of the world's population live. 1.5 billion of them are outside of the normal missionary methods of reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means the way we're doing it now, we can't get it done. That's why God is raising up other means and methods. And this is one of them. But you see, Challenger, I found this out. Challenger launched a satellite in the month of September, launched a satellite that was launched for the country of India. There are 500,000 cities and towns in the country of India without the gospel message, any evangelical voice, whatever. 500,000. Part of the function of the satellite that was launched in September by Challenger was to provide television for the country of India. That's in the plan of God, brothers and sisters. I believe that with all of my heart. And I want you to pray with me. I want you to believe with me. I'm learning it as I go. I'm learning television as I'm home. I didn't know anything about it. I'm learning it so that I will be equipped to be able to go and do that. I'll be working at Feast in Manila as well to develop the audiovisual department so that we'll have on-site locations by video cassette. You see, it's something that God had prepared me for through this Bible school in New Caledonia. But that we'll have on-site locations and teaching by video cassette so that the professors themselves will not have to go through expense and time, but we'll be able to set up those stations all over the Far East. And Brother Henderson will be able to go to the Far East by video cassette and never leave Springfield, Missouri. Praise God. I believe God is raising that up in these last days. the message tonight that I want you to hear from the Holy Spirit, and I believe this is born in the very heart of God, is that there is no room for pride in the body of Jesus Christ, that there is no room for pride in the hearts of his people, in the hearts of his ministers, and that those with haughty spirits and haughty eyes will be brought down, the scripture says. And also the fact that pride in its ugliness will cause you so much harm in your ministry and will probably stop the work of God faster in your ministry and in your life than little or nothing else. And the fact that the Holy Spirit would speak this to you means that it's a very serious thing tonight, and the fact that he wanted me to share it with you is obviously a very serious thing. But you see, pride will cause us to think that we have a corner on sin, that we can sin and somehow God will blink at it, because God is going to use us, because God somehow has a special place for me, because he gave me all of this. I was raised in a Christian home. I'm talented. I don't know what your reasons may be. I was asked to leave this school when I was here. Not asked, I was told to leave. Because of an infraction of the rules, I don't blame this school. I blame myself, because I was wrong. I was kicked out of this school. I came back and graduated. But you see, in my heart, there was pride. This is probably the most difficult thing that I have ever shared with anybody ever. And I share it with you tonight only because I am compelled to share it. And I don't know if I ever will again. There are times when you will sit in chapel service and will look at the man or the woman in ministry and will say, I can do a lot better than that. My goodness, look at the way they look. I can speak a lot better than that. I can do so much better. And the pride will turn them off, and they will not minister to us because we will not allow it. We will think that we can sin, and because I don't feel it's wrong, it's not wrong. That's what we think. We come to that point. I don't care what you feel. If the scripture says it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care if you feel that it's all right or that God will forgive you. Sin is sin, and any habits that you form, brothers and sisters, any habits that you form here in this school will be carried on into your ministry. I don't care what they are. You'll say that you'll stop them as soon as you're finished with school. That's a bunch of baloney. That's a lie from Satan. Because they will be harder to stop as the years go by. There is lust in some of your hearts and some of your minds that is out of control tonight, that is totally out of control. And what you cannot control controls you and will always control you. There is lying, there is deception, cheating. I don't know all the things that are in your mind and your heart. But the things and the habits that you are forming here will be habits that you carry into your ministry. And God is through his Holy Spirit pleading with you and asking you tonight to stop those things. And ask the Holy Spirit to surgically cut them out. To allow the knife of the Holy Spirit to surgically cut them out of your life. Because there is no other way. There is no other way than to allow the Holy Spirit, through his power and his graciousness, to cut them out of your life. God, in his graciousness, allowed me to come back and to stand here today. But it's only by his grace. It's only by his mercy.
And believe me, I have not attained. Believe me, I have not attained. But the Holy Spirit would want you to not have to go through so much of what you will have to go through if you allow this thing to continue in your life. And this message on God being in control tonight is for you and your sin as well. God will control your life if you will allow him to. And anything that is sin that controls your life will make your entire ministry out of control. It's just that simple. Tonight I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God, by his Holy Spirit, and I'm sorry, I apologize for going this long, but I want to minister to you tonight by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said there would be people tonight whose lives would be changed and different because of this. And I want you to come forward. I don't care who your father is, who your mother is. I don't care what family you come from. I don't care how many talents you have or what position you hold. I was sophomore class vice president, junior class president. I sang in Revival Time Choir. I played in the band. I was in the followers. I was in as much of this school as I could be, and there was sin going on in my life. Oh, I would ask forgiveness. I would come back. But you see, I have to ask God to surgically remove that out of my life before I will ever be. We will never do anything for God until we are what he wants us to be. You see, he wants us to become conformed to his image. Tonight I plead with you. I never imagined in my whole life that I would be standing here tonight doing this. But out of the love of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, I plead with you to come forward tonight. I want to pray with you. I want this body to intercede for those that will come forward. I don't want you to look at people and say, I wonder what's going on in their life. I want you to intercede for them. Not that you're so much better, that you got so much more, or you're so much more spiritual, but that you, as a brother or sister, will stand with them. The scripture says that we are to forgive. You see, those that have fallen. Peter, in his arrogance, said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive? Seven times? He thought that was a great number. Jesus said, Peter, yes, seven times. 70. In other words, Peter, it must become a way of life. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus tonight, as you have promised that this place, this building tonight would be covered with the blood of Jesus, that the knife of the Holy Spirit of God will begin to surgically remove from these precious young people the things that are controlling them. The things that would hinder them from seeing a great move of God in their lives. The things that would hinder them from fulfilling the call upon their lives. The things, Lord Jesus, that would hinder them from going to the mission field. In the name of Jesus tonight, I pray, by your Spirit, O God, reveal to us. By your Spirit, O God, reveal to us the things that displease you. And in the name of Jesus right now, in the name of Jesus, remove them. Remove them, I pray. I resist the devil in the lives that would destroy the lives of his people. And remove those things in the name of Jesus, I pray. Right now, God, do a work in our lives that only the Holy Spirit can do. Cause there to be a spirit of repentance, a spirit of humility. Jesus, take the pride out of our lives. Take that pride out of us that would say that we can do things or we can be somebody. And may we be broken in the name of Jesus. May we be broken before his Holy Spirit and allow him
to minister to us. Speak, Holy Spirit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Those of you that have come, I want you to say what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you right now. I want you to say it with your mouth to yourself, not loud. I want you to say what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you that is sin in your life. I want you to say it out loud, and I want you to give it to the Lord. I want you to ask Him to cut it out of your life. And then I want you to do everything in your power. If you have magazines, you have pictures, you have dirty things in your rooms, after this service, I want you to burn them. I want you to throw them, destroy them. I want you to do everything in your power that is physically possible to put those things out of your lives and then believe that God is going to do the rest. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Speak forth that thing right now. Speak it and say, Lord, I want this thing out of my life in Jesus' name. It's got to be removed before I can go on in ministry. It's got to be removed by the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Take it, Lord. I sacrifice it again on the altar of your love and your blood. I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, be controlled by the Spirit of the living God. Let us walk in that Spirit. Let us talk in that Spirit. Jesus, let us live and minister in that Spirit. We are nothing. We are nothing. We are nothing without the Spirit of the living God. You cannot use a soiled vessel. We will always be standing outside of the great move of God that is coming our way. We will always be standing outside of and looking in, standing on the fringes until He is able to use us in the way that He would. Spirit of the living God, in Jesus' name. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. To Thee, my blessed.
There need to be couples up here confessing together. Young men and young women that possibly are engaged, seriously going together, going steady, thinking of spending the future together, you need to confess to the Lord tonight together. Lay upon the altar of God some of the things that you know displease Him in your relationship. I plead with you in the name of Jesus tonight, do it. Lay it on the altar of God. Accept His forgiveness and don't do it anymore. Don't allow Satan to blind your eyes. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I hesitated to say this, but I cannot hesitate any longer because the Holy Spirit continues to bring it to my mind. Drinking, uncontrolled drinking of alcohol or something, I don't understand it totally. Someone needs to lay it on the altar of God tonight. The secretness of it. No one else knows it possibly. No one knows that you're under the control of it. In the name of Jesus, lay it on the altar tonight. In the name of Jesus. 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 If there are not couples up here that need to come forward, I want you to come forward now. I call to you again, those of you that are couples, that are going together, I call to you to come forward tonight, please, in the name of Jesus. Consecrate and dedicate your lives together to the Lord again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lovely on the mountain are the feet of those who proclaim, our God reigns. Do you know that? Our God reigns. Will you sing it with me? We allow the Lord Jesus to reign supreme tonight. How lovely on the mountains are the feet, those who bring good news. Our God reigns tonight. He reigns supreme. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe it tonight? God reigns. He reigns over all the earth. He's still God tonight. He's still on the throne and He reigns. I want to give Him praise with this. I want to give Him glory because He's reigning in this service tonight. How lovely are the mountains, are the feet of Him who brings good news. Proclaiming.